This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 468 in the series. This session shares a segment from the Franklin, Mass. Town Council meeting held on Wednesday, February 17, 2021. The meeting was conducted in a hybrid format. Most members of the Town Council, selected guests, and town administration personnel were in the council chambers. At least one member of the council was remote, along with the public via the Zoom conference bridge, all to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. I split the full 3-hour and 50-minute meeting into 4 logical segments. The first segment covers the opening through the Community Preservation Committee appointments and including a 2-minute recess, although the recess silent time you're not going to hear here, clearly. We left that out. Second segment returns from the recess to pick up and cover the complete streets presentation and discussion, as well as the town administrator review and discussion, approximately 58 minutes. The third segment opens with the legislation for action, covers the items through the authorization of the fire trucks, approximately 40 minutes. The fourth and final segment covers the technical adjustments to the 3 stormwater articles, 1, 2, and 3, with the discussion running off course again, with confusion around the proposed stormwater utility fee, which is not in these 3 articles. This segment also runs through to the closing of the meeting, approximately 1 hour and 13 minutes. The show notes contain links to the meeting agenda, including documents released for the agenda. Let's listen to this segment of the Town Council meeting of February 17, 2021.
Okay. Moving forward, legislation for action, resolution 21-10, gift acceptance, Franklin Public Library, $4,000. Clerk will read the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is resolution 21-10, acceptance of gift, Franklin Public Library. Whereas the Franklin Public Library has received a generous donation totaling $4,000 from the Friends of Franklin Library, this donation will be used at the discretion of the Franklin Public Library to support the many programs they provide to residents in town. Donation summary is such: Friends of Franklin Library, $4,000. Now therefore be resolved that the Town Council of the Town of Franklin, on behalf of the Franklin Public Library, gratefully accepts this generous donation to be used at the discretion of the Franklin Public Library to support the many programs they provide to the community. This resolution should become effective according to the provisions of the Town of Franklin Home Rule Charter.
Move resolution 21-10.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion, Jamie.
Just want to thank them for their continued generosity and donations to the library. Both the FLA and the Friends do an incredible job, so thank them for that money.
Questions or comments from the council?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for this most generous gift. And the vote will now come on the motion to approve resolution 21-10. A majority roll call votes required. Clerk will call the roll.
Chandler.
Yes.
Frangillo.
Yes.
Passanti.
Aye.
Hamblin.
Yes.
Kelly.
Yes.
Pellegrini.
Yes.
Jones. Yes. Vice Chair.
Yes.
Chair.
Yes.
9-0, sir.
Motion carries. Resolution 21-11, appropriating funds by borrowing and transfer to pay costs of purchasing fire apparatus. Clerk will read the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is resolution 21-11, appropriating funds by borrowing and transfer to pay costs of purchasing fire apparatus. Whereas the Town Council has been advised of a need to purchase 2 fire pumper trucks, now therefore be it ordered by the Town Council of the Town of Franklin that $1,108,000 is appropriated to pay costs of purchasing and equipping 2 fire pumper trucks, and for the payment of all costs incidental and related thereto, and that to meet this appropriation, $300,000 shall be transferred from the fire truck stabilization fund 2 and the treasurer collector, with the approval of the town administrator, is authorized to borrow at one time or from time to time $800,000 under General Law Chapter 44, Subsection 7-1, or pursuant to any other enabling authority, and to issue bonds or notes of the town. Therefore, Any premium received upon the sale of any bonds or notes approved by this vote, less any such premium applied to the payment of the cost of issuance of such bonds or notes, may be applied to the payment of costs approved by this vote in accordance with Mass General Law, Chapter 44, Section 20, Subsection 22, thereby reducing the amount authorized to be borrowed to pay such costs by a like amount. This resolution shall become effective according to the provisions of the Town of Franklin Home Rule Charter.
Move Resolution 21-11.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion. We have the chief with us. Chief.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, honorable members of the Town Council. We appreciate the opportunity to present a proposal to you tonight to purchase two new 2021 fire apparatus pumpers to eliminate the need of future maintenance costs for our two reserve trucks that we have now, our two engine companies' pumpers. One is a 2000, one is a 2007. The specifications for these two trucks fit the needs of the Town of Franklin and the Franklin Fire Department. If we were to sit down with a vendor now and order a truck that would not be available in the next year or so, this would be the truck that we would want. It suits the needs for the Town of Franklin. And that's very important. And it's very important that you also know that this opportunity of these two trucks, I was not aware of. I kind of fell upon it in early January. So once I identified that we had this opportunity of these two vehicles that will be done in the end of April, coupled with a more closer audit of what our maintenance costs have been for our two reserve apparatus from the time I came here in July of 19 till now, after performing that audit, I thought it just made the most sense to put this opportunity out in front of the council for discussion. In your packets, I have a 3-page summary that gives the background of this project. With that, that's dated February 11th. There's another letter from the vendor that verifies that these trucks, these two vehicles, have an order price from 2019. They were actually ordered in September of 2019. Due to a couple of urban departments having massive orders, COVID restrictions, delays, these trucks are in production right now. And like I said earlier, they're due to be completed at the end of April to be sent to the vendor. We've also got in that letter from the vendor also verifies that since that time in September of 2019, there have been three customary increases over the course between then and now, totaling 8%. And that's generally the norm in the fire business, is that the trucks normally increase about 4% each and every year. And the last paperwork in your packet is I've got some tables there showing what the price increases are, which I just mentioned is a 4% over the course of the next 10 years. And I've also got the maintenance costs of engines 3 and engines 4, which are the two reserve trucks. Those are the projected maintenance costs, and we come up with about $762,000 that would be from now for the next 10 years. In 2021, you'll notice in that table, both engine 3 and engine 4 have elevated costs because of work that needs to be done with those trucks in the near future. I tried to be as, with my memo to the town administrator, I tried to make it as complete, as thorough, to give the background of this project. But basically, we have an opportunity where we have these two trucks that we have the opportunity of purchasing right now. With that 2019 price, and we're saving roughly $44,000, $45,000 per truck if we were to order that truck today. In addition to that, we have because it's a multiple vehicle discount, you get $10,000 off the price of the second vehicle. So between those discounts of the multiple vehicle discount and the pricing from 19 till now, we're looking at about a $50,000 per truck for a total of $100,000 savings per truck. We think that's a great opportunity for the town to go forward with that. Now the need, engines 3 and 4, I'll start with engine 4. Engine 4 is a 2000. Engine 4 has served this town very, very well. It's 21 years old, and we've now run into an issue where we've got about $27,000 of quotes outstanding that need to be done. We don't want to do that right now, unless absolutely necessary. Some of the parts for this vehicle are actually obsolete. We can't get them. We've got problems with the pump packing. We've got problems with the springs, updating the lights. There's a lot. It's an old truck. It's done well. And I will add that the vendor that we're looking to get for these two new trucks is the same one that we get for this 2000 truck that served the town well. which is a local vendor, which I think is important that we've had good success with that. Engine three is a 2007. Last July 1st, when we had the vehicle inspection, they noticed the frame rail on the officer's side was rotted with a lot of corrosion. We were told then if it passed, it probably wasn't going to pass by a lot. It did. And we're fearful that this upcoming July that it may not pass. We do have a quote of $135,000 to replace the frame rail of engine three, which again is a 2007. I can tell you that $135,000 will be an extremely conservative number. Once they disassemble that truck, there'll be other items that they find, and that number will do nothing but go up. And also, subsequent to that, when that truck gets put back together, they're never the same. I strongly advise that we do not do that with that 2007 vehicle. It just doesn't make sense to me. Once you put that kind of money into it, you have to pretty much stick with it going forward. So for those reasons, that's a briefing on those two trucks. As far as the cost for the $762,000 is our projected cost of the next 10 years for those two vehicles. And how we came up with that was we did an audit of the last 18 months of both those vehicles, and it was roughly $5,000 per month for both of those vehicles, in addition to those escalated costs that we have in that chart for 2021. So we have an estimated cost of $762,000 down the road for 10 more years with those trucks. The impact, we feel that this will put the department in great shape for the next 20 years. Besides our ambulance, as you all know, comes from the ambulance account. We have a towel ladder that's a 2008. That towel ladder will be 15 years old in a few years. That'll be ready to have a refurbish, which will be a great investment because that truck should last. Once we do a refurbish on that truck should last another 20 years plus. The cost of a towel ladder that you bought in 2008 here is over $1.5 million now, so that'll be a great investment for the town. Engine one, which is currently at headquarters, is a bigger size truck. Engine one, what we would like to do with that is make that a reserve truck at King Street and have that cross-manned with the ambulance crew, no additional manpower, but just like the ambulance crew cross-mans the tower at station one, if there's a fire call, we would want that vehicle to be up at station two with all extra shoring equipment, extrication equipment, ropes, anything that runs that we don't normally do every day, but we have that extra equipment right by 495, where there's a lot of chances of having bad accidents up there. So we think that'll be a good need for that truck. And if this was approved, that will significantly increase the longevity of that truck, engine one. It's a bigger truck, and I think that will suit its needs best. These trucks that we're looking to buy are basic, well-built, stainless steel, galvanized rail rims, basic trucks without the bells and whistles. We feel it's a good opportunity for the town. We feel like the combination of this opportunity that came here, plus what the cost of these vehicles are going to cost us in the future, and the community is going to get a safer truck. The community is going to get it's more reliable for the rank and file. And we just feel like the stars, quite frankly, have lined up for this project, that it just seems to make the most sense for the taxpayer, a good financial decision for the taxpayer.
Thank you, Chief. Jamie, anything to add?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Chairman, really quickly. So just to reiterate one point from, I wanted the chief get into specifics, but this proposal will use $300,000 from free cash. As everybody knows, we put $100,000 in every year into the stabilization account. And from our purview and our finance team, there's not a better time to use this for a deal like this where you're going to get a lot of savings, as opposed to putting all this maintenance of almost $200,000 this July. If you use that $200,000 to pay for the maintenance, you basically, with the money we've saved, you already have a free truck. So, you know, to get two at that price, at our interest rates, it's almost a no-brainer to say that you're setting the department up. And down the line, we might be able to, you know, weed off, at least now, the plan would be for a few years. I don't think we're going to need to deposit that $100,000 from free cash in that account. So it will free up also some additional cash for other projects for other departments. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Questions from the council. Councilor Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, Chief, you had me on reliable and safer. So, I'm sure you started with that. You could have saved yourself some time. Jamie, I love the fact that you mentioned the 300 because I wanted to make sure that that's where some of the money was coming from. So, we'll take the remaining money from
fire stabilization. The fire truck stabilization fund. Yeah, whatever, something okay. like that.
And that'll be borrowed, essentially?
No, that's just direct cash. So, between that cash, we'll pay right offhand to the vendor, and then the borrowing will actually occur, as you heard at the last meeting, the borrowing we're setting up is for May. Okay. But in order to move forward and make sure that those trucks don't go to another town,
I agree.
That's why the vote's here tonight.
You're not going to, you don't get me to say no on police and fire. Everybody on the board knows that. I think this is fantastic. The only thing I would say that I just would hesitate against is we've had a longstanding tradition of putting that $100,000 sure. away from capital, whether we need it or not. It just, with the price increases that you're talking about, when yep. we need it, we're going to need 100. So I don't want to be sitting here in 5 years going, wish we had done 150. Let's do this, continue to put the 100 in. I'd rather be sitting ahead of it in 5 years, 10 years, whatever we need. But anything to keep the guys safe and keep the trucks rolling. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Kelly.
Thank you.
Councilor DeLorco.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through you, Mr. Chairman. I totally agree with Councilor Kelly. We can always take it out if we had to. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So there's no need to not let it be there. Couple things, Chief. Chief, if I'm not mistaken, these trucks that are, 20 years old, in rural, isn't it only supposed to be like 10 years, the trucks?
Yeah. Different towns.
City 5 years.
Exactly. In the more urban environment, you get a little less time. And also, the big fact with these vehicles is where we live.
Right.
The climate. That's why these trucks are stainless steel. They got the galvanized frame rails.
They're all becoming stainless steel.
They are. But
what vehicles are you purchasing?
E1 Typhoons. That's the model Typhoon from E1.
All right, and that's that Greenwood and North Attleboro.
That's correct.
They're subcontractors or whatever.
They've been in business since 1979. The town has dealt with that dealer in the past.
I have dealt with them. They're not bad people. I've dealt with them. They do Rosenbauer too for us. So this is a great deal. I mean, I would never say no. Especially 20 years old, the rail rotted. We're just going to keep putting money in. It's just like opening up an old wall and finding something in there. It's just going to keep going. Take it from me. We have them. It's the same thing. It's a great deal. Great deal for you, Chief. I mean, I wish I could get a deal like this over at Massport.
Thank you, Councilor DeLorco. Councilor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I echo what Councilor Kelly and Councilor DeLorco said. Again, this is another great example of due diligence on part of our town and really looking out for the taxpayers. I really in looking out for the safety of the firefighters and the crew and everyone else. And I can't agree with him more when he says when it comes to safety, that's a priority. Yeah. Always going to have my support when it comes to something like that. Thank you for all the hard work that went into this. I think as town administrator coined it best, it's a no-brainer. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Jones. Councilor Chandler.
Through you, Mr. Chairman. Hi, Chief.
Councilman.
You were very thorough. You didn't even use a cheat sheet. There's so much information. I was impressed. Only quick question. These are coming without all the bells and whistles. Yeah. So the customization, is that another
customization expense? Is when you start from square one, there might be additional things that you want to put on the truck that not necessarily needed.
Okay.
So these are stock trucks with the basics.
It's all set.
Okay. And those trucks obviously come without equipment on them. There is some equipment that's with that price that's in the in the letter. But all of the hose, the forcible entry equipment, all of the stuff with it, that will come off the existing trucks that we have right now that we're decommissioning. Okay. So there'll be no added expense to the town for the equipment on that truck, including the hose.
Excellent. All right. I'll use the word no-brainer.
Yeah.
Yep. Thank you.
Councilor Pellegrini.
Great proposal. I'm for it 100%. I'm curious. I know you said that one of the trucks is going up to King Street.
Correct.
The other truck, Are we trading that in? Are we going to be getting money for it, or how does that work?
Actually, both trucks, both reserve trucks, we would go. We've got reserve trucks that were, one of them would be going to King Street. The two reserve trucks, I haven't even gone so far as to even inquire about a trade-in, which normally the trade-ins, you don't get much at all.
Nothing.
So I would suspect that the best option for the town would be is maybe a sale, maybe an auction sale. I think it'd be beneficial to the town.
But if we were to sell, would we be responsible for that truck where you said there are things wrong with it?
No.
We had no responsibility.
As is.
Yep. As is, that's
it
right.
It would be sold as is.
Right.
Good job, Chief. Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilor Bisanti.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Councilor Pellegrini brings up an interesting point, though. So the disposal of the older trucks, is there a market for that? Or
The trade-ins are normally very low. The trade-ins, like I said, but if there may be a need for somebody out there,
can other towns buy them?
Other towns, other parts of the country. Sometimes out in the farmland, they actually use them for water. With these are pumpers, they have a water tank. They use them for irrigation purposes or something like that. So I just can't tell you exactly what the town would get from them, but I think that'd be the best option.
Do you advertise those in a certain media or?
I think the town, I think that goes through the town. I think DPW goes through, I think it goes through DPW perhaps on surplus sale.
As auction.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Bisanti. Councilor Frangillo.
Yeah, thanks. I was super excited that you're looking out for good deals, and if they come up. I was hoping you could help me just understand the purchasing process. Like, how is there a big catalog? Are there multiple things that you get to choose from?
No.
Is there like how available?
It's a robot catalog. It's
pretty good. Like, the JC. He doesn't remember the JC Penney catalog.
I know. I looked on Amazon and I couldn't find a comparable. No, no.
2-day shipping.
Yeah. I mean, how do we even know that this is a good price?
Because there's first experience that in the business for 30 plus years, I have a good feel for that. But at the same time, there's certain vendors, locally that the town's dealt with, that most of the fire chiefs deal with in that regard. And then, we brought them in. We always bring them in. We bring in all the vendors to see what they offer. In fact, that's how we came across this. We just simply had a vendor came in to give us what they have. And then we just happened throughout the conversation ask if there was any demo stock trucks available, and that's when the whole conversation started. Like I said, that was in January. So this was kind of an opportunity that we just kind of fell into, and it's a good one to take advantage of.
Okay.
You still have the floor.
I feel like we should at least think this through. I don't know much about trucks, but I told Janet, like, all I know about cars is, like, it depreciates the minute you drive it off the lot,
right?
Kind of thing, right? And so, like, are there used trucks with low mileage that are just a better deal? Do we look at that?
That's a great question. It's a common question, actually. And in the fire service, unlike a purchasing a vehicle, and if you out to lease a vehicle, you pay your lease payments for 3 years, let's say, and give the vehicle back. That's not in the fire service. But in fire trucks, it's not a one-size-fits-all. For the untrained eye, a fire truck is basically a red truck. And one has ladders and one has pump with water and just the basic things. But actually, there's a lot of considerations in a fire truck. And some of them are obvious. If you look online, you see some used trucks.
Yeah.
Some of them may have a commercial cab where only two people can sit in it. You have a front nose. It gives it the extra length, which is not good for the shorter streets in here.
Yeah.
And then there's things like that. Certain parts of the country, they don't have hydrants like we do. So they don't have the need to carry large diameter hose for the hydrants. Compartments. Mm-hmm. There might not be many compartments on some. Our paramedics do everything. We basically do everything on the trucks, the fire engines that they do in the ambulance, except transport them to the hospital. So we need that compartment space. But as you get more trained about knowing more about vehicles, there's a lot of other things to consider. The size of the tank. The size of a water tank of a fire engine can be anywhere from 250 gallons, which is in our brush trucks, to over 3,000 gallons in a tanker. We go with 750 gallons. That's the industry norm. That's what Franklin's used for years. You don't want it to be too much, over 1,000 gallons. It puts that extra weight on the vehicle. But you want it to be at least 750 gallons so the firefighters have that protection. The pumps are all rated by gallons per minute. This is 1,500 gallons per minute. If you start getting less than that, you have less capacity with the pump. So there are a lot of things to consider. if you know the business. And like I said, these trucks, between the pump capacity, between the size of the tank, the size of the trucks, they're only 30 feet long, so they're going to be better for us to maneuver the streets. The new Dean apartments with that parking, it's better to have a small truck in there. And so there's a lot of things to consider. There really is, and we've considered it all. And when you look at the used trucks, sometimes you'll see an old truck 25 years old with very little mileage, but most diesel mechanics will tell you that can be just as harmful if that truck hasn't been used at all.
Worse.
And if a newer truck is for sale only after 2 or 3 years, there's a red flag. Why is it for sale? Maybe they didn't do the right specifications, but there also could be problems that they want to bring those problems to somebody else. That's something we wouldn't be interested in.
Cool. No, I appreciate that. Okay. That was pretty nice. Good. The other question was about the disposal. You know, like, can we get money out for what we have?
Yes. Well, there's definitely.
Jamie, go ahead.
I'll point. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it was last August. Folks at home want to go back and they're having trouble sleeping, but it is interesting. Our former procurement officer was here. He gave a presentation. Disposition of surplus property or assets is pretty well ironed out in state law. Pam Vickery, we're excited. I know we announced it a few weeks ago, but Pam Vickery, who's worked at DPW for a long time and throughout town, has actually been promoted to take John's position. John, as many of you know, became the assistant town administrator in Wayland, so we got an opportunity to do that. So great for John. But he did go through a presentation on all procurement, if folks remember. But in terms of all trucks, assets, property is a little different, but you actually have to go through a mandated state process of how to dispose of surplus assets, and the procurement official in the finance office coordinates all of that for the whole town. I hope that answers Councilor Frangillo's question.
What's that, Councilor Frangillo?
We will get a minor amount of money back. We will. It goes into the general fund, just for people. Yeah, just to be clear, you know, if we sell a truck from the DPW and you get $2,000, it goes right back into the general fund.
Yeah. I have another question.
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
How did we do with the ones that were given up? Like, did they last as long as they should have?
Yeah, the 2000 for sure. That's a good life expectancy on the vehicle. The 2007, we would have liked to seen get more, but if we didn't have that issue with that frame rail, mm-hmm. we probably would have liked to get more. But at this point in time, being its age, this is the right decision to put that money.
I appreciate it.
One quick question. Councilor DeLarco.
Kobe, just so you know, and the chief can tell you, when I spec out a truck, the page it's probably this big. It can go, and you do, like he said, you have 750 gallon tank. You could save some money at a different pump, but that's where he would come with his experience. He would know better what the size of pump, because of the buildings we got and everything like that. That's what I have to look at. Yeah. when I buy Strikers, so in case there's a airplane fire, that's totally different than, you know, because it's all foam. And you got to look at stuff like that. So you got to rely on people. And the same thing with Chief. When I spec out a cruiser, it's the same thing. It's a whole big form, but yeah. You got to rely on them. They know what they're doing.
Okay, you all set, Councilor Frangillo?
All set.
Chief, certainly, thank you and your staff for doing the homework and being able to bring such a deal forward, because I think, as some of my fellow councilors have said, this is truly, truly a no-brainer. And to Councilor Chandler's comment, don't give him too much credit, because if you looked at his hand, all the notes were on his hand.
Okay, I didn't see that part.
Okay, with that, the vote will come on the motion to approve resolution 21-10. I'm sorry, 11. I knew there was something wrong there. A majority roll call vote. Clerk will call the roll.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chandler.
Yes.
Frangillo.
Yeah.
Hamlin.
Yes.
Santi.
Aye.
Allegri.
Yes.
Kelly.
Yes.
Jones, yes. Vice Chair.
Yes.
Chair.
Yes.
9-0, sir.
Mr. Chairman, on behalf of the department, we do appreciate the unanimous support of this council. It means a lot to the rank and file, so we thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Thanks, Chief.
Deputy Chiefs, thank you.
Good job, guys.
Okay, moving on. Bylaw Amendment 21-870, Chapter 170, Vehicles and Traffic, Section 170-22, Subsection A, Location of Stop Signs. First reading. Clerk will read the bylaw amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Bylaw Amendment 21-870, Chapter 170, Vehicles and Traffic, a bylaw to amend the Code of Town of Franklin at Chapter 170, Vehicles and Traffic, Article 6, Traffic Regulations, Sections 170-22, Subsection A. Be it enacted by the Franklin Town Council that Chapter 170 of the Code of the Town of Franklin, Vehicles and Traffic, Article 6, Traffic Regulations, is hereby amended by deleting or adding the following text at Subsection 170-22, Section A, Clearview Drive, eastbound Lincoln Street, Dean Ave, westbound Hillside Road, Dean Ave, northbound Pleasant Street, change from Hemlock Ave to Hemlock Lane, change from Lasden Brothers to Lasden Brothers Way, slight change there, Nina Lane, southbound intersection of Beach Street, and Tobacco Road, westbound, and Sheila Drive. And this bylaw amendment shall become effective in accordance with the provisions of the Franklin Home Rule Charter.
Move bylaw amendment 21-870 to a second reading.
Second. Motion and a second. Discussion. Jamie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through you to the council, Chrissy's just put up on the screen, and Councilor Jones just read off the amendments. This is simply an amendment that we're required to do to the town bylaw as presented and highlighted from Councilor Pellegri, I think about a month or two ago, raised this issue, and she's 100% correct, that we do need to come forward and get all of these stop signs authorized and approved by the council. Just so most folks know, much of the stop signs that get put in, not all, but most, are done a couple different ways. The first is usually this is done through mitigation through development projects, usually when there's traffic studies that go through the planning board or conservation commission through the permitting process. You know, the studies show up, you need to do a little bit more traffic calming, you need to do a light, you need to do stop signs, you need a three-way intersection, whatever the dynamics are. And so many of the roads on tonight's amendment have been installed near currently permitted projects in town development. And then second, actually, most people don't know this, and he's been sitting here waiting patiently all night, but the police department actually has one of the more active roles relative to traffic and stop signs. There's an entire division within the police department that solely focuses on a lot of this work. So the Chief Lynch, Mike Maglio, our town engineer, Brutus came back, DPW director, are here to answer any of the questions that folks may have relative to the amended or the proposed amended streets with stop signs up here on the screen. And Chrissy can certainly scroll through them if people need, but Councilor Jones also just read off the list and they're also in the packet. It's a long bylaw. It has a specific of every, you know, sign. So, you know, we can go on for a lot of pages. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Questions or comments from the council? Councilor Kelly.
I'm just going to use this time to advocate for a stop sign location at the corner where Valley Jewelers are. It's a one stop. It should be a three stop. I think it's a one stop. It should be a two stop. Should be a three stop. It's completely screws up everybody from out of town. So, and as somebody who lives very close to that, constantly I go. So, it would be great to have stop signs there, but. I know that's not what this is about, but figure if I could put it out there, I'm just saying it.
Thank you, Councilor Kelly. Councilor Jones, is that a half a hand up?
Yeah, that's a half a hand. I don't know if this is the time to request, Mr. Chairman, if the opportunity to have Mercer Lane changed to Jones Boulevard.
you have a better shot of getting struck by lightning.
Is it raining?
Okay. Question. Councillor Pellegrini, I was looking at you first because I knew you had a question about this.
I want to thank the police department for putting this all together and the DPW. I guess it was through both of you. Mm-hmm. This is a big job. And I can remember years ago when we worked together with the Jerry Thayer. Remember when he was on board? He worked to get all of these streets together and as many as we could in the code book. So I appreciate it because I worked with it and it was a lot of work. Thank you very much for your time and all. And you have a question?
No. It's just I want to say, yeah, Jerry. So there's now four Jerrys. We replaced him with four other people. He was that good. But back then, Jerry was a one-man show in the safety division, and now we have the community service unit, which is, you know, Sergeant Chris Mullane and David Gove and Paul Garino and Jamie Maccheroni. And so they all do this. It's kind of a team effort. You know, the DPW will be notified of it, Mike, the engineers, and they'll ask us to go out to look at sight lines and some other things like that. And we all come together to make a determination on whether, you know, that's appropriate that a sign goes there. Not all the time does one go there, as Councilor Kelly can attest to. So, we all work together to get this done.
I have another question. If someone is to call one of us and say, I'd like to have a stop sign put wherever, who do we refer them to? You, the DPW, admin? I don't think it's admin.
No, that's good. No.
Yep.
It would be one of you, right?
Mr. Chairman, through you.
Throw the rock at Brutus.
Seems like he really wants it.
As I sit back and I look at these are signs that actually have made to the council. I think the chief and Mike will tell you, we get requests all, it usually comes through Public Works. And it's not just stop signs. Yeah. It's curb signs. It's speeding signs. Great. It's 25 mile an hour, 30. And we have a really good process in place. And we established, I'm going to say about 5 or 6 years ago. I mean, we really put it down on paper. And the idea is the first thing we do is, I'm kind of at the end because we're actually going to put it in the ground. That's the determination. Mm-hmm. The first thing what happens is we send it over to the police department, and they're going to look at the safety, the accident ratios of that area. Because you got to remember, and I'll say just about stop signs, that particularly, they're not really supposed to be used for traffic calming. I mean, you might get a test of this. It's more about a safety issue and control, you know, helping the public not get hurt. So I can give you lots of ones. We come out, and people, and we were just talking earlier about one on Jordan Road that, you know, I think some of the counselors did get emails about put on Jordan Road. And we went out there and there was no accidents. And, you know, there wasn't a speeding issue and stuff like that. And we determined that, you know, a sign wasn't warranted there. So once you get the information from the police department about what's happened there, not just in the last month, but over the last couple of years, then what I do is turn over to Mike Maglio. And then he has to deal with all the, whether it's the MassDOT, federal highway regulations, what it goes, when we start talking about sight lines, things that we need to do, and he'll review it that way. And then also when we get together and we talk about it, a lot of times with the town manager, not that it would ever turn political, but we try to make that decision and what's the best one.
You're saying to start with the police department?
Yeah, every that time I get sense. A sign request, besides like, you know, replace a street sign.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, pretty much any new sign, I'm telling you, whether it's a speed sign, a stop sign, a curb sign, a dog ahead, a blind child, I mean, it goes on and on. We just get tons of them.
No, thank you.
Yeah, because we're going to.
I'll set Councilor Pellegrini. Go ahead. Did you have something more to add?
No, sure. We're just because we are going to look at the, you know, what's been going on there, the accidents, et cetera. Like the one Brutus was talking about. I mean, 10 years, there was only about 5 accidents. And most of them were on the intersections and weather related. Had nothing to do with the area they were talking about. And then Mike can attest to the fact that we would have had to take out a whole hill to basically be able to put it there because it would have been blind for anybody to see it. No one would actually know it was there because it would be in the middle of the road. Mm-hmm. So it just didn't work out for that particular one. But if it's a safety issue, we're going to do everything we can to keep people safe. That's what we're going to do. And in this case, that's just what
we're going to do. Just like that, one other thing. A lot of it comes out, Mr. Chairman, it's maybe we don't need a sign. Maybe we need to go do some pruning out there of trees. You know, maybe we need to do something like that.
maybe we can take a hill out. I don't know. Maybe we need to move a stone wall, or maybe there's a car in the way. We talk to the neighbor. We put parking, you know, at the corner. Like, you can't park that close. Instead of a stop sign, we say, hey, no parking 200 feet from the corner. So we look at all the options, what's going to work out there.
Thank you, Bruce. Councilor Bizanti.
I think this is a great opportunity for me to mention, while we have the chief and the director here, I noticed there are stop signs on Daniel Street, and Councilor Hamlin might want to chime in on this too, but there is a car. There's a Dodge Challenger, a Chrysler Challenger, that must have the Hellcat package in it, 600 horsepower, that literally opens that all up, going up Short Street and Daniels. And I don't know where these stop signs are, but I mean, he puts on a real horror show going up that street. And I don't, well, the chief's here, and I just don't really know where those signs are, but I can't imagine stopping for him, that's for sure. I don't know if Melanie's heard him go by, or I hear him go by, and I live on Brook Street, so.
That's yeah. Melanie, Melanie is shaking your head.
I hear him.
Thank you.
I mean, there's one on Daniels where it comes in and meets
Where Short
Street is.
Okay.
And there's another one at the end of Daniels on Miller.
Lincoln.
You know, there's definitely one on Lincoln. Yeah. You know, they're there. I'll talk to you afterwards. Give me a little more information about this car, and we'll see what we can do.
My neighborhood has evolved. There's kids in the neighborhood again. There's dogs. It's like a second wave. So I'm getting a little concerned. That's all. Okay. It's probably once or twice a week I hear them go by.
All right. No, we'll definitely take a look at it. Right. And to add to some of the common things, we put the radar board up there to try to, you know, slow people down. We'll do some radar enforcement.
I mean, it's a country road. I can't see going that fast on it. That's all.
No, we'll definitely look into it.
Thank you, Chief.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Councilor Bizanti. Any other councilors? Okay, seeing none. The
second reading, right?
It's a second reading. So the vote will come on the motion to move bylaw amendment 21-870 to a second reading. A majority roll call votes required. Clerk will call the roll.
Frangillo.
Yes.
Chandler.
Yes.
Bizanti.
Yes.
Hamblin.
Yes.
Kelly.
Yes.
Pellegrini.
Yes.
Jones. Yes. Vice Chair.
Yes.
Chair.
Yes.
9-0 to move, sir.
Motion carries. Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Brutus.
Thank you.
Moving on.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.